Welcome to TalkErie.com's Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast. Every day, we tackle the biggest issues that the Erie, PA region faces. Stay informed and involved as we advance the narrative of Erie. Now, here's Joel Natale.
Various assets of the Erie Downtown Development Corporation start coming online. And to talk about that and all of the cool things going on downtown in the EDDC is John Persinger. He is the president and CEO of the Erie Downtown Development Corp. John, great to have you again, sir.
Thank you so much for having me back.
All right. So let's get the 30,000-foot view here. You've been under construction now for a couple of years almost, right, when you think about it.
That's right.
It looking like? Yeah.
Oh, it's looking great. These buildings, we've got several of these buildings finished. We've got several about to be finished. It is really an exciting time for downtown. But just to step back and remind your listeners about where we've come from is when we were formed, our board tasked us with figuring out how much money we could raise in total. And once we figured out that number, what we could afford to acquire and redevelop in downtown. We ultimately settled on a $100 million figure. And once we figured that $100 million number, we targeted 12 properties for redevelopment across three blocks right in the heart of downtown. So we've got seven of the 12 that are either finished or or will be finished in the next couple months. We have three new construction projects that are underway and should be finished in late 2022, early 2023. And then we have the final two projects that will be finished. They've just started and they will finish in mid 2023. So it's been a lot of construction. It's been a lot of work for those that have been downtown. It's exciting that we're going to open doors in the next few weeks. We're going to have new retail shops opening up. We're going to have Flagship City Food Hall opening up. And it's exciting just to keep the momentum going in downtown Erie.
It is really remarkable. Let's go over the new construction, and then we'll go and do and take it block by block here. So, under the new construction, what are the things that are like currently underway, John?
Well, right now at the sort of northeast corner of 5th and State Street, we have four historic properties. These are properties that were once owned by the Art Museum and the DeLuca family. I'm in one of those properties right now. I am streaming in from right above Glassgrower's Gallery. This space was empty above Glassgrower's. We moved our offices on the second and third floors. We moved them out of the cashier's house so that we could turn the cashier's house into a cafe on the ground floor and pop-up shops on the upper floors. The cafe is a work in progress, but we should have some of those pop-ups open during Small Business Saturday when people come down for all their holiday shopping. And speaking of holiday shopping, we have several new retailers going in these storefronts on this corner. Erie Apparel, Primo Tailoring, which is a men's tailoring and clothing shop. Point Four, which is a women's boutique right now in Federal Hill. And then She Vintage, which is another women's boutique. That's in addition to a renovated Subway and soon to be opening Rita's Italian Ice. That's all happening right here on this corner.
And that's all happening by the time of Black Friday, right? I mean,
correct.
Okay.
Correct. So you don't need to worry about any supply chain issues this year. You don't need to worry about Amazon not finding your door. You just need to come downtown because downtown will have plenty of gifts for everyone in your family.
Amazing. So that's the DeLuca block there. And I'm interested in this cafe. What's the timeline on that, John?
That will probably be finished sometime in early next year.
Okay.
It is a historic property, so we're taking our time to be careful in the renovation of that building. But when we were thinking about that building, it was our home initially. The art museum owned it, and they were using it as storage for about 10, 11 years. We came in and we leased it from them and then ultimately bought it so that we could have it as our office. But as we were talking, we are a small team. There were just three of us at the start. There's seven of us now. We thought this building is too important to be our office space. This is a historic building right on our main street. It should be open to the public. And we found a great chef, an Erie native, who had done these concepts in Philadelphia with historic properties. And so he's going to come in on the ground floor and operate a cafe. The upper floors, we will rotate through different pop-ups. So we'll keep it interesting. We'll keep it diverse. We'll keep it fresh. And that way you will always have a great experience when you're coming downtown.
That's really remarkable. And we'll talk about residential in a second, but above all these locations, these retail locations are residential apartments. And we'll talk about that in a bit. Let's go across the street to the northwest corner of 5th and State. And I'm pretty sure I saw footers poured already, or what am I looking at there?
That's right. They're pouring the foundation for what will be a new 60,000 square foot mixed use building that will be right at that corner where the former McDonald's was located. We are putting a climbing gym out of Pittsburgh, a Ascend climbing gym on the ground, two floors. There'll be big, giant rock climbing boulders. There will be free weights, cardio equipment. There will be yoga. There will also be a three-story climbing wall that goes up on Fifth Street. So when you're walking downtown, if you're a climber, you can give it a try. If you want to give it a try, give it a try. If you just want to be a spectator, get something to eat from Flagship City Food Hall and come out and see people climbing three stories, you can do that too. On the upper floors, we'll talk about the residential, but there will be residential units on the upper floors.
On the new building. Okay, gotcha.
On the new building. That's right. And that's just one of three buildings that is going on that block. Also on that block, we are putting a 300-space parking garage right in the middle. We knew if we were getting more people to live downtown, to work downtown, to visit downtown, we needed somewhere for them to park.
Yeah.
And that's why we're putting the 300-space parking garage right in the middle of the block.
So they'll be able to get a monthly pass if they're living
correct.
There. Okay, and that'll be where they park their car for the duration. Gotcha. Wow.
Correct. We also knew, though, that something we learned from other cities is the importance of controlling the ground floor experience. Mm. As you are walking along the street, what is it that you're looking at? Are you looking at abandoned storefronts, boarded up storefronts, or are you looking at dynamic, diverse, vibrant retail shops, food and beverage establishments? And so on that corner, that northeast corner of 5th and Peach, we're putting another mixed-use building that will wrap around the parking garage. You won't actually be able to see the parking garage from street view. And so when you are walking along the street or driving along the street, you'll see three great new retail tenants. So something that's going to be more for downtown, and again, just hides that parking so no one has to look at it.
That's amazing. That really is a kind of extending kind of the retail district now over to Peach Street, which really doesn't have any retail. I guess off of North Park Row it would, right? I mean,
off of North Park Row. So if you come down, we want you to be able to come downtown and spend plenty of time downtown. So we want you to get a great meal at the food hall. We want you to spend some time browsing through the different retail shops. We want you to be able to buy your groceries from the market and have it all right here, right in the heart of downtown area.
That's pretty remarkable. And so the timeline on these are, have you broken ground on the parking garage and on 5th and Peach there?
We have, yes. Construction is moving ahead, and those projects should be finished late 2022, probably early 2023.
Sure. Anything that your contractors are dealing with as far as either supply chain or workforce?
You know, we have been fortunate on the workforce front. We are working with all local contractor and local subcontractors. They've been doing a fantastic job. And on any given day you come down here, there are over 200 men and women of all different trades, union, non-union, who are working across these projects. It's really been a community effort. When we talk about these $100 million of investment, this is not $100 million that's going off to New York City or going off overseas. This is $100 million that is being spent to hire great local tradesmen and women and order supplies locally so we can keep this money floating through the local economy. That all makes a big difference, but we do have one significant supply chain delay, and that is for the coolers that are going in the market.
Wow.
And the coolers now won't be delivered until early 2022. we are scheduled to finish construction on the market. And the market is where Whole Foods Co-op, now Erie Co-op, Luminary Distilling, and Gordon's Meat Market are going. They won't open until early 2022 because these coolers won't ship until then. We'll finish construction this month. Our teams are still moving because they've got other work to get to. But because of those coolers, we won't be able to open until early next year.
Yeah. Again, not to get into the nitty gritty, but I know a little bit about this stuff. Are we talking about walk-ins that are not available?
Yeah.
Okay.
Correct.
Walk-in coolers, which are absolutely a necessary part of this whole deal, right? I mean,
correct.
Okay.
And
what about your showcase, your cooler cases? Are were those available? I wonder.
Some of those have been delayed as well.
Wow.
And I will say we talked through with the vendors about this process. Our board has been from day one taking the long view. They are investing in the next 50 years of Erie, not the next 50 days. We talked through some short-term options, some rentals, some used options, but everybody wants to do it right. And that's a credit to the development team. And so everyone, the vendors are willing to wait to get those right coolers. That way, when we open doors, it looks perfect and it is easy usage for all the customers.
Explain to the average Joe how or why that a particular private concern, and again, these are private dollars, mind you. These are private investment
Correct.
Dollars. But because of that philosophy, not everybody could do this, or the numbers just don't work for like the big chains to do this or what have you. There's a reason why we've had a food desert for a couple decades downtown.
There is. So to give you a breakdown of why it doesn't work is I can run you through the numbers for the Park Place Sherlock's and Dispatch buildings. These are buildings on North Park Road that will house the food hall, the market, and 28 apartments on the upper floors. They are a total of about 62,000 square feet. We will spend at this point about $26 million to acquire and redevelop those properties. We gutted those buildings. We just tore them down in the middle, insides, brought it down to the basement, scraped out the basement, poured new basements, and rebuilt the entire buildings. We outfitted the entire market with all of its equipment. We outfitted all 9 vendor stalls and the bar with new culinary equipment. And that's why it's coming out to about $26 million. When we went out and got an appraisal done for those properties because of some bank financing, the appraisal came back as, I'm going to let you take a guess.
I'm going to cut it in half, $13
million. I wish $13
million. Oh,
$7.7 million.
So like a quarter.
Correct. So if you go to anyone and say, my house is only worth $30,000, but I want you to buy it for $100,000, what person would take that deal?
No one.
No one. But if you know someone, send them my way because I got a house to sell that.
Wow.
So on $7.7 million, the bank said they will only finance 90% of that.
Right.
So $6.8 million. So that leaves us... what is that math? 19.2 million left to finance. Most developers don't come to the table with that amount of money. We're fortunate in that we've got some great partners in this process. First, the Erie Downtown Equity Fund. These are the collection of local organizations and individuals who put up the initial $27.5 million to get this work started. None of this work happens without the equity fund. And we've had the great fortune to be able to share this story with communities all across the country. We've shared it at the White House. And I say, none of this work happens without the equity fund. If you want to revitalize your downtown, you need visionary organizations and leaders who are willing to put up real money to make this work. We've also been fortunate to partner on that project with Erie Insurance's Opportunity Zone Fund. Opportunity Zones, which is a tax incentive, not a program, have been a big benefit to us. because we've also been able to partner with Arcteris Impact Investors out of Boston. They are committing just about $10 million of Opportunity Zone investments to those projects. And then we've got some other financing, such as historic preservation tax credits. These are historic buildings. They are in a historic district. And so we're able to get historic tax credits for them. And we have Foss & Company as our historic tax credit investor. But it's a huge effort. It's a interesting capital stack. It, to your original question, doesn't happen a lot in cities because it's tough to line up partners like the equity fund who are willing to be patient with their returns, and great operators like Luminary, Gordon's, and the Co-op, who are in this because they want to be part of the community as well. So these projects are something that the entire community should be proud of, because it is a true community effort to turn around that block and these 12 projects. We needed that local money. We need these great local businesses operating in the ground floor. We need local residents living on the upper floors. And we don't even get there if we don't have all these great local tradesmen and women restoring these buildings. So something everyone should be proud of. And I look forward to welcoming everyone downtown when they're finished up.
We're going to continue our conversation with John Persinger. One quick question. Have you raised or at least have access to the full $100 million budget?
We are just about there. Okay. We have a little gap on a couple projects that we are talking through, trying to figure out what's the right tool in the quote unquote economic development tool shed. It's been an interesting learning experience. The state government, the federal government have created a lot of tools, but a lot of these tools are not applicable to communities like Erie or to the type of work that we're trying to do. And so there's a lot of often folks throwing around buzzwords about what could or could not be possible. And here, that's why I go back to the opportunity zones. They just require someone with capital gains and someone who's got a project, and that's it. The government, the federal government's not trying to be a clearinghouse. There's no organizations, nonprofits, consultants out in big cities who are sucking up all the tax credits and not getting them to these communities. We've been very fortunate that opportunity zones came around just at the right time for these projects.
A significant article in the newspaper talking about the Greyhound bus station, it's not of the same character or even the design of the other buildings that are right there on North Park Row, yet it is near and dear to many people's hearts. It was built in the Art Deco era of, I'm probably butchering the architecture, but it's from the 30s. It looks like it's from the 30s, like a spaceship, like Flash Gordon or something like that. That's going to have to come down. What are you wanting to put in that space?
So we are going back to the original historic architecture of that block. We work very closely with the National Park Service, which oversees the Registry of Historic Places, and the Pennsylvania State Historic Preservation Office. We've also worked with two different historic preservation consulting groups on all of our projects. We are restoring 8 historic buildings. And so these projects are part of that process. On that block, in the middle of the block, there was a building called the Park Opera House. It stood there from 1860 until 1939. In 1939, it caught on fire and they tore it down. They were building these Greyhound bus stations around the country at that time. And so they built a Greyhound bus station in the middle of that block, right amongst the residential and commercial tenants right across from Perry Square. So the block itself is technically a historic district. And these are all specific terms of art that are used by the National Park Service and the State Historic Preservation Office. And the period of significance is between basically the 1850s and the 1880s for this historic district. So our goal in preserving the buildings on that block and the other buildings was to return to the historic architecture of that period of significance. So we will replace the bus depot with a building that looks similar to what the Park Opera House would have looked like at the time. We're also restoring the Marlena Place building. The Marlena Place building is right next to the bus depot. It has a historic southern part and a non-historic northern part. The non-historic northern part is long overdue of being demolished. And so that will get demolished. And again, we will also put in a building that is appropriate for that architectural period.
Gotcha. And so what I was amazed at is when I saw, when I was up in those North Park Row apartments, and literally there was a hole in one of the apartments. Now it's all been restored, and the brickwork and the, what would you call it, sandstone or whatever, the design, the mortar, it looks exactly like the other parts of the buildings on that row. I mean, the craftsmanship of the masons was remarkable.
Yeah, it's a great point. And on North Park Row, I don't know if many people realize this, but there was a crack that was running from the fourth floor of the facade down to the storefront. This is on the former Park Place building.
Yeah.
And the masons took the facade off brick by brick. And what bricks they could hang on to, they kept. What bricks could not be saved, they pitched. But then they put it back brick by brick. If we had to get new brick, we had to match the brick and the mortar to what was historically there. And so that's just one example of the time-consuming, expensive historic preservation work that we've been doing here.
Okay, let's move to the food hall because, again, there's been some news that's been in the paper, a little bit of changing around. Can you explain what's going on? And does Red Letter still have a role in the rollout right now, Red Letter Hospitality?
So we worked very closely with Red Letter in the lead up and preparation for the food hall. They helped us with the design and the layout. We knew that at some point we would take over management of the food hall space itself. And our board came to the decision that it should be sooner rather than later as we look to hopefully take on more projects after this 12. So we were fortunate to go out and recruit some new employees. Corey Cook, who spent the last 16 years at UPS, will serve as our director of operations and logistics. He'll oversee the day-to-day operations of the food hall and the market and the parking garage and the courtyard when we get that open. And then Mark Insko will serve as director of food and beverage operations. And he will be responsible for overseeing the bar and the pizza oven that is attached to the bar. So we are fortunate to recruit those two very talented individuals, and they just hit the ground running. And they've rounded out their team with some additional hospitality team members, some experienced team members. So we've got the food hall fully staffed from a management standpoint. We've also got some great additions to the food hall as well. We kept kind of two spots on hold in the event that we could hopefully find some great local tenants. COVID has created interesting challenges for all of us, probably none more so than those in the food and beverage industry.
Sure.
And we knew that when we announced the plans for the food hall, that we would be in a really different world than when we were about to open it. So here we are about to open, and we've got these two great additions. Dina's, which is an authentic Dominican Republic restaurant, is going to open. It's a husband and wife couple. The husband is from Erie. The wife is from the Dominican Republic. They will serve traditional Dominican food. Lots of rice, beans, meats. If you like Chipotle, you're going to love Dina's. So we're really excited about adding them. We're also excited to add Blue Willow Bakery and Cafe. And Blue Willow may be familiar to some folks who ate at Alchemy under the original chef, Joe Fontecchio. Joe does a fantastic job with Mediterranean food, with he's done some great French bread and pastries. He's going to bring that cafe style to the food hall. They're actually in the first stall as you walk in the door. So I anticipate as you walk in the door off of North Park Row, You're going to get bowled over with some great smells coming out of Chef Joe's stall. It's going to be, they're a great addition, and we're really excited about them.
That's pretty exciting. All right, so you guys are going to be operating the bar and the pizza oven. So talk about that. Are those full pizzas? Are they personal pan pizzas? How does that all work?
They will be full pizzas. We actually recruited a dynamic husband and wife duo, a local husband and wife duo, Elliot and Bianca Smith. And they'd spent time in a number of James Beard award-winning restaurants in the South. And for those that don't know, James Beard is pretty much the Oscars or the Emmys for the restaurant industry. Mm. So to apprentice in one of those restaurants is quite a unique opportunity. It's quite a special recognition for the talent. They don't just take anyone off the street. So we've got this great talent here in Erie, and we are so excited about them coming to operate on the pizza oven. And it's a pizza oven, but these are two really talented individuals. So they're going to use that oven in creative ways. You can come down and you can get a traditional pie, a 12-inch pie with your typical flavors, your cheese, your pepperoni. But stay tuned, because we've got this really creative duo. On any given night, they may be operating some type of special that you would not have seen before. And that's what we love about this duo, is they're creative, they're willing to experiment, they're going to keep things dynamic and exciting down there in the food hall.
That's cool. So that's the pizza oven, the bar. Name some of the other ones that are continuing on, for opening. Because, again, this is happening very, very soon.
November 22nd. I can't forget that. November 22nd, we are opening. That is Thanksgiving week. That is Monday, November 22nd. You will have friends in town. You will have family in town. You will be off from work. You should come down and experience the food hall, because we've got a great roster of culinary talent under one roof. I already mentioned Blue Willow Bakery and Cafe, Perry's Tavern Pizza, Dina's Dominican Restaurant. I haven't mentioned, but you may have seen before, we'll have Shawarma Station, the Middle Eastern food truck, is going to open a vendor stall inside. Noodle Love, which is an Asian fusion concept out of New York. The co-founder is an Erie native, and so he's bringing the second location to Erie, Pennsylvania. Wow. Taste of Love, Natasha Paisley does a fantastic job fusing together Southern food, soul food, some seafood. You will not leave hungry after you've tried some of her food. We have Lucky Louie's. Lucky Louie's, most people know, they've made Yelp's top 10 places in America to get a hot dog. They're coming downtown. This will be their second location. Wow. They'll have some of their staples, some of their hot dogs, but they've also got some new items that won't be available up at their current location and people will not have seen before. So it's a reason to come downtown and try Lucky Louie's. We have Taste and See by Crystal Robinson. It's a smoothie, freshwater, fruit and vegetable, very healthy concept to balance out maybe some of the other options. And then we also
balance out the hot dogs. Go ahead.
You can
make a very, very healthy hot dog. I believe it, you know.
Wash down that hot dog with a healthy smoothie
and you
balance it out.
Exactly.
So, the final one I can't forget to mention is Straw Hat Ice Cream Shop.
Oh, there
if
you
go. You've been out to their place in Northeast. You'll find Penn State's Berkey Creamery Ice Cream. You'll find Northern Scoop Ice Cream. What is interesting about their now new downtown location, they're going to experiment and have some special offerings. The owner, Jeff Seaver, has been working on this Mighty Fine Donut ice cream sandwich concept.
Oh my.
If you haven't tried it, save your money, because you'll have maybe more than one, like I did the first time I tried it. But think about a hot Mighty Fine Donut with cold Penn State Berkey Creamery ice cream in the middle. It's just that combination
That's
of
ridiculous.
Goodness all around.
Oh my.
And so there is something for everyone under this one roof. There's seating for over 160. You can come down with your family, with your friends, with your work colleagues, and there's something for everyone. Gone are the days of going to one restaurant and someone's not happy because they don't like what's on the menu. There's something for everyone at Flagship City Food Hall.
You know, again, I've said it before in the show, Erie is one of these, we might as well be Missouri because we like to show me, like, you know, show me the model that works. So tell me about the dining experience. You mentioned that, you know, people can buy from different places. Is this very akin to like what we're seeing in the old post office in D.C. is it D.C. or Philadelphia? You know, like where you go to Philly for the food hall and everybody gets what they want, you know? Is that kind of what we're going for here?
That's exactly what we're going for. People have seen food halls in big cities. It's a tried and tested concept. Everyone has to eat. Everyone likes good food. The challenge about doing that here in Erie was finding some of Erie's great local culinary talent. And we are so fortunate. We've got an incredible roster of chefs and food and beverage entrepreneurs who are coming into the food hall. This doesn't work if we just try and go out and get a McDonald's or a Taco Bell or a Wendy's. We have been adamant from day one that we want to offer a Erie experience in downtown. And so that's why it was important to recruit a great roster of local culinary talent. And we are so excited to open doors on November 22nd and for everyone to come down and sample all the best that Erie has to offer.
What are hours going to be, and where do you think the peak times will end up being?
As my colleague Corey Cook called it, this is the community's dining room. We want people to come down and enjoy the food hall. So we'll be open early in the morning, probably around 8 o'clock. There are vendors who want to serve some breakfast food. There are vendors who will be offering coffee. You can come down, you can get something to eat, you can get a coffee, you can have a early morning work meeting. And then we expect that there will be a lot of people at lunchtime coming in and out. We have a lot of people working in the downtown core. We're working on building out a delivery network. So if you're working in the downtown area, you can have it delivered to your place of work. And then we anticipate a good flow of traffic in the dinner hour from anywhere from 5 to 8. We'll be open 7 days a week. We'll be open on weeknights, maybe as late as 9 or 10. Wow. On the weekends, maybe 10 or 11. We're taking a let's-see approach. We want this, again, to be utilized by the community. This is the community's dining room. So if people are there until 10 o'clock on a Wednesday night enjoying themselves, we're not about to kick them out.
That's amazing. So again, when you think about where we've been, and you know, I feel super bad for a lot of the restaurants, not only downtown but literally around the region, they've had to cut days. I mean, I think Waterford, you know, most places aren't even open till Wednesday. Not everywhere, but I mean, there's a significant shortage. Do you think that that your food hall will be able to overcome some of those workforce challenges?
This is a great question and something we've been discussing internally for the last several months. COVID is still around, and so we have to plan around it. It's not enough to just open doors and say, come on downtown. We have to be intentional about how we're driving traffic to the food hall. So we've been focusing on a few things. First is the delivery. We are building out a delivery network in the downtown. Corey Cook, as I mentioned, our director of operations and logistics, comes from 16 years with UPS. He's got a phenomenal logistics mind. He's gonna build out that network for us so we can get food delivered to your place of work, to your apartment, if you're in the downtown. Two, we're gonna do the pickup, the online ordering. If you are on your way home from work and you wanna stop in and grab something, you can pull up, run in, grab your food, run out, and be home in no time and still have hot food on the dinner. We are increasing our amount of events and activities. Right now we have Flagship City Cornhole League going on. We are looking to bring back curling in the winter. There's some of those league activities, but there's also different events that are happening in the downtown. I'll make a plug for the Downtown Partnerships Downtown Delights, which is coming up in December. The Downtown Partnership is also working on a lot of activities around Small Business Saturday, So there's different events and activities to get people down here. We also are going to spend more of our resources marketing Erie to the region. We are fortunate in that we sit just a 2-hour drive from Lower Ontario, Rochester, Buffalo, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Youngstown, Akron. If we can get people to come and spend a day, they go to the food hall, they go to the market, they browse the retail shops, then that is a win for everyone in the community. If people are coming here and going to the peninsula, if we can get them to start coming downtown, that's a win for everyone in the community. So those are some of the things that we are doing to make sure that we're driving people down here and keeping this place busy.
Last 4 minutes with John Persinger, the head of the EDDC. Let's pivot to retail. Tell us again, the DeLuca block, which is the northwest corner of 5th and State. Are those ready to go now, those apartments?
The apartments, yes. So we have, when this is all said and done, these 12 projects, by the middle of 2023, we will have over 140 new residential units. We have 14 units that became available on October 1st. We have 3 of those residential units already leased up. We will have 28 residential units on North Park Row that become available on December 1st. Wow. We already have a lease for one of those. So we'll have 42 apartments available in downtown by December 1st. If you want to live downtown, if you're looking to move downtown, if you know of maybe a child who is living in another city and wants to come back home and is looking for a place to live, please put them in touch with us. These are great new modern apartments right in the heart of all the action. Stainless steel apartments, beautiful hardwood floors, washer and dryers in the units. And you also have at your disposal an experience director. We have Ryan Hoover, who is our experience director. He not only oversees the leasing of all the residential units, but he also is focusing on cultivating an experience for those residential tenants. We want to make sure that if you're living down here, you're able to take advantage of certain offerings, discounts, exclusive events that our ground floor tenants are offering. So the retail tenants, the food hall, the market, that's part of living down here. And that's why we've hired an experience director.
So, yeah, when you think about, okay, the apartments are coming online, and I couldn't believe that you said it was December 1st for those North Park Row ones. That's amazing. So you've got the apartments online. You've got the food court online. You think about what's happened elsewhere outside of the footprint as far as the entertainment district and, like you said, the good work of the downtown partnership. You've got the renovations and so on of the Bayfront Parkway. Is this all, again, you said your board is in for the long game, but you could see like 36 to 60 months out. This is a different Erie, John.
I'm sure you had this feeling maybe about 5 or 6 years ago that there wasn't a lot of optimism in the community. There didn't seem to be much leadership. You didn't see much investment. It didn't seem as if things were headed in the right direction. And to look back on that time is somewhat startling because it feels as if we're in an entirely different Erie. A new area where people believe in the future, they're excited about the future, they're willing to invest because they are so excited and have so much belief. And it's all starting to come together right now. A lot of that groundwork was laid over the last 3 or 4 years, but things are really starting to turn around. And it's an exciting time. And I think the biggest challenge for all of us is as a community to keep this momentum going.
Yeah, it's about what kind of attitude are you going to bring to your friends and to your family members as you look forward? Are you going to have an optimistic view of your life and your place in Erie, or something different? And I choose optimism. Thank you so much, John Persinger. And I'm sure there's more to come, right?
I think we'll have some exciting news maybe come the new year. But there's a lot more to come, and we're so excited. November 22nd, the food hall opens. Come downtown, Small Business Saturday, November 27th. We'll have a bunch of retail shops open, some great pop-ups happening in downtown, some more festivities. December 3rd is Downtown Delights, the lighting of the tree. It's a really exciting time over the next few weeks for downtown.
Beautiful. John Persinger from the Erie Downtown Development Corporation. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast from TalkErie.com. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcatcher and get involved by emailing joel@TalkErie.com.